Hey, it's Ben and Kelly. Today on the podcast, we talk Grammys, and then our listener Mandy's boyfriend, well, has terrible phone service, but she found out why.
Yeah, and she needed to know whether she should confront him or not. Speaking of confrontation, we got an update on group therapy from Andy, who proposed, and she said, no, you're not the right one right now.
Yeah, crazy there. And crazy ways you've heard of someone getting busted cheating. Wait,
those were amazing.
Yeah, wait until you hear Heather's.
Well, enjoy your podcast.
Ben and Kelly.
We'll get into some Grammy stuff, Grammy Awards last night, a little bit later on in the show, but Beyonce finally had some redemption. We'll just give you that little teaser if you went to bed before, you know, all the awards happened. But yesterday was also Groundhog Day, which to the surprise of some...
Punxsutawney Phil, the seer of seers, was awakened from his wintry nap at dawn on Gobbler's Knob.
I'm telling you, it is quite a production. I actually had a friend's daughter who my daughter's danced with. She went there. She got up early and she goes to Penn State, which is, you know, in Pennsylvania and a few hours away from Gobbler's Knob, and made the trip to Gobbler's Knob to witness this.
Phil looked to the skies and then, speaking in groundhoggese, directed the president to the proper scroll, which reads, it's Groundhog Day, and maybe life is on a loop, but I miss my burrow. I miss my coop.
Uh-oh, yeah.
So I'm headed back down. There's a shadow up here.
All right, so he saw a shadow. Six more weeks of winter, sure.
Why are they cheering? They're like, yeah! People like winter?
Staten Island Chuck... he's the most accurate groundhog. Did not see a shadow, predicting an early spring. Also,
Chuck.
Moxie, the Louisville Zoo's ferret, predicted an early spring, too.
Okay, we're going with that, too.
So, looking at today's...
sorry, Phil, we don't believe you.
I was going to say, looking at today, high 72.
Yep. All signs point to the ferret and Chuck in Staten Island.
Staten Island Chuck and
yes.
Ferret.
That's what I... yep, sorry, Phil. Zeus. You're all pomp and circumstance now, but you're no accuracy.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, look, it doesn't necessarily have quite the punch that it does when Groundhog Day falls on a weekday and we're able
right.
to witness it in real time, but...
we've had some iconic moments on the show.
Yeah,
just waiting
yeah.
for that announcement.
Absolutely, because, you know, they take their time and do that, but...
oh, yeah, they dig in. This is their Super Bowl.
Yeah, yeah. Did you do anything special for Groundhog Day? Because that is an anniversary of yours.
It is. It's an engagement day anniversary. Just shared stuff on social media. It was more of a regular day.
Okay, so you don't do anything like special for that anniversary?
No, we acknowledge it. We always acknowledge it online.
Yeah.
We share the memories because it happened in a public way.
Okay.
He proposed on the show.
Right, right, exactly.
Which is fun and unique. We always kind of nod to that, share pictures, and my goodness, 19 years ago. 19 years ago.
Yeah, who'd have thought?
Who'd have thought? And I don't even have like an audio recording of it.
Well, that's a shame.
I know, right? We got it on video, which is even better. But
well, see, there you go.
I wish that I had the audio of how it played out on the show.
Because
I don't remember, you know, it was a blur.
No, it was a blur for you, for
yeah,
sure.
But at the time, I think, I want to say that our recording method was cassette tape. So
probably.
We didn't have, digital fun recording devices back then.
All right. We spent some of the weekend cleaning out the fridge. Which,
that sounds fun.
And organizing the fridge, which, you know what?
So when, satisfying efforts when you done, though, right?
When you become adults, that is a thing where you're like, yes.
Yes.
We got like little carousels and little like containers to...
that's very Pinteresty.
Put things in. Yes, very Pinteresty. Very Pinteresty.
Yes.
We threw away some salad dressings that had been in there since before the pandemic. And
did those last a long time?
They do.
Uh-huh.
But I mean, the creamy dressings that have the eggs and stuff like that in it.
Yeah, probably less longer.
Yeah, you know, and you've got the crusties up around the lid, and it's like, hey, when's the last time anybody actually even opened this?
Yeah,
and
it's like, just smell it.
Do we really need to keep this half a container of dressing around if no one's even touched it for 5 years?
Probably not.
So, anyways, yeah, organize the fridge. And again, that is one of those moments where you kind of look at each other and go, this is our life.
Yes. Yes. And then you high-five each other because what an amazing job you just did.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I can't take credit. My wife did it.
Yeah.
And I walked in and said, wow, this is great. And
you had no part in it?
I gave her the kudos.
Oh, awesome. Oh, so when you say we cleaned out the fridge
over
the weekend, my wife did, and I liked it.
And I liked it. That's right. Okay. She did it all. And I just kind of rolled in and was like, yeah.
Yeah. So my husband does that a lot. He's like, we didn't do anything. I did that. I'm like, well, you know, I offered to help.
Yeah, well.
And then you said, well, I like it done right. And then I was like, okay, that's fine.
Okay, right. All right, so, yeah, we got a lot of stuff to get to here this hour. We got jokes, you laugh, you lose on the way, setting the bar story, and a feel-good story on the way next.
I mean, this had me chuckling incessantly this weekend. If my parents were Irish, they would be them. These grandparents can't stop laughing, making a baby shower video for their daughter.
Oh.
It's hysterical.
All right. Kelly Kay.
Okay, so this is the most hysterical, adorable video that you can find. This older couple from Dublin, they're trying to record a video to play at their daughter's baby shower in Australia, and well, they get the chuckles.
Hi, Orla. Hope you're having a wonderful time. Won't be long now till you're old. Your old baby. Oh, sorry, love. We're not used to making videos. I know everything will be fine. Stop. We have the chuckles now. Anyway, can't wait to see her, hold her in our arms. Know you and Sean will make wonderful parents.
I mean, the husband's he hasn't even said a word and he's laughing.
Nope, he's crying, he's laughing so hard. This was after about 20 minutes of them trying to get this message out. And because they wanted to play it at the baby showers of their daughters in Australia, so they couldn't be there. But I mean, I watched that an unhealthy amount of times and just cried laughing. It's just so funny. And if like this, they reminded me so much of my parents. So because we grew up with them doing that a lot. And my sister and I would just be sitting there at the dinner table, not knowing what they're laughing at, but they're just crying.
Right.
It's great. So if you want to see it, we've got it at WDJX.com.
Honestly, I don't know how I like seeing the Super Bowl commercials before the Super Bowl.
Really? You want to be surprised? Well, what if you happen to like miss one? You get up and go get a snack, something.
Well, that's all part of it, right?
But oh, you just got to sit there and just not pee, so you don't miss a commercial.
But Post Malone, he's in a series of Bud Light ads during the Super Bowl where he and comedian Shane Gillis, we played the one for you last week where they're kind of going up to the house and they're like, come on, come on. You know, it's like you see it from the doorbell camera.
Right.
And then they go around back. Well, this one is from they're basically Peyton Manning makes a surprise appearance in this ad.
That's fun.
You are cordially invited to the end of the cul-de-sac.
This is incredible.
Your mower smokes meat?
Oh, a smoker cuts grass.
Hell yeah.
I spend most of my money on this.
Your rig?
Fully custom.
How many Bud Lights can you fit in that puppy?
As many Bud Lights as it takes.
A lot of Bud Lights.
It's like a block party.
Cul-de-sac. Pop.
Oh,
Bill, get off the boat. The HOA's already breathing down my neck.
Yeah, so, you know, it's kind of a fun little vibe, and Huey Lewis in the news is probably excited that they're using their song. And
heck yeah.
Yeah, so.
I mean, it was already in a movie, so it was a, that was a pretty big deal. But now it's coming back around. It's great.
So yeah, a lot of those Super Bowl ads, like I said, they're being released before the actual game, which is Sunday, BT dubs.
Okay, so listen, did you see the one with Meg Ryan and Billy Crystal?
Yeah, they kind of recreate the When Harry Met Sally
restaurant
diner scene.
Yes.
Yeah, where she's faking and, making a whole lot of noise and.
Hellman's got them back together. Because, you know, now she has that reaction over the sandwich because it has Hellman's. Genius.
Yeah.
It's the first time they've been back together in those roles. It's been it's the 35th anniversary of the movie.
Oh, wow. All right.
So it's perfect timing.
So there you go. Yeah, you can see that at WDJX.com. Time for jokes.
Whoever laughs first loses. If you laugh, you lose. With Ben and Kelly on 99.7 DJX.
All right, Trumpus Mean, it's time for You Laugh, You Lose. Gamer Kelly and I sling jokes back and forth. First person who laughs loses. It's all for this fun You Laugh, You Lose trophy I have in my hand and for bragging rights as well.
She's majestic.
As she is.
Who currently has her?
I do.
Okay.
All right. You laugh, you lose. You ready?
That means I go first. Here we go.
Yep.
I'm going to start off with one from Marsha, one of my joke minions.
Okay.
What does a hillbilly call a deer with no eyes?
What does a hillbilly call a deer with eyes?
No eye deer. A deer with no eyes.
No, no eye deer.
No eye deer.
No eye deer.
No eye deer.
Kelly, I failed out of magic school because I kept overthinking the test.
Oh.
Yeah. I mean, I assumed the test was just a series of trick questions.
Yes.
Turns out they were.
Yes, indeed. Hey, Ben, of all the things that taste like chicken, it's weird that eggs aren't one of them.
True. Kelly, what's an unlucky day for a dyslexic person?
I don't know. What is an unlucky day?
Friday the 31st.
Yes. Right. Yes. I get it now.
Sorry, that's an intellectual thinking
person's joke. It is a thinking man's joke. Yes, yes, yes. Hey, Ben, getting old sucks big time.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah, yeah.
Threw up my back because the toaster startled me.
Oh, goodness. Getting up there, Kelly.
Uh-huh.
You know, Kelly, the inventor of the Easy Bake Oven, has passed away.
Oh, no. I loved that as a kid.
I know. Funeral services will be at 3:50 for 20 minutes.
It's going to be tasty, though.
Yes. It's You Laugh, hey, Ben, You Lose. Yeah.
I hate it when I mean to buy seedless grapes.
Yeah.
But instead, I accidentally get Oreos.
I know. They just seem to fall into the cart.
They do. Things fall in the cart all the time.
No. When my salad actually turns into ice cream.
Yes. So, you know what I mean.
So hard to eat right these days.
It is.
Kelly, I got a new pen that can write underwater.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. It can write other words, too, but it can also write underwater.
Wonderful. It's a good place to start.
Uh-huh.
Hey, Ben.
Yeah.
Before the internet. Think back.
Wow.
Before the internet.
Okay.
People would take your order over the phone, write down an address, deliver a pizza to your home in less than 30 minutes using a paper map like some sort of mystical land pirate.
It's a wonder anything ever happened.
Seriously, do you remember that kind of time? I don't remember how we did that. How did we do life?
Kelly, I don't finish anything.
Yeah?
I have a black belt in partial arts.
Wow. Okay. All right.
Hi-ya.
Hey, Ben.
Yeah?
I got a little bit of life advice for you. It's a little life hack you can use.
All right, ready.
Never, never ask your wife where she wants to eat.
Okay.
Instead, you ask her, guess where I'm taking you?
Okay.
And then whatever she says, that's where you go.
Oh, guess where I'm taking you? You're taking me to this place. Oh, that's exactly where we're going.
Exactly. Follow me for more relationship advice.
Hey, Kelly.
Yeah.
You know, good moms will let you lick the beaters.
Yeah.
The best moms will actually
turn them off
before.
Yes. Yes. You got to turn them off first. Turn them off first.
Yeah. It hurts your tongue.
Exactly. Yeah. Yes. Those are the best moms. Hey, Ben.
Yep.
My phone fell down a flight of stairs.
Oh, no.
It's okay, though. It was in my pocket.
Are you okay?
Ouchie.
Okay.
A little.
Hey, Kelly, I'm really excited. I got a new stick deodorant.
A new stick deodorant?
Yeah, the instructions said remove tap and push up bottom. Listen, I can barely walk, but when I fart, the room smells lovely.
Oh, wow. Wow. You took yourself out with your deodorant stick application.
Listen, I walk funny, but dang it, I smell good.
You smell delightful.
I smell good.
And for that, we appreciate it.
Enjoy
you.
The trophy. There it is. You laugh, you lose.
Yeah.
Here on 99.7 DJX. Listen, when the police are clowning you on social media for the crime you committed, you know it's probably going to wind up a Setting the Bar story. It's 99.7 DJX. What is a Setting the Bar story, Kelly?
Well, that's an example of what not
sure.
to do.
Yeah. So if you can manage to make it through the day without breaking into a mall for Cinnabon, then you're doing okay.
I mean, Cinnabon is tasty.
It is.
But let's wait till it's open.
Well, this is in Atlanta, and the police legit posted on social media, Cinnabons can be tempting, but breaking into a mall for midnight snack is just not smart. Now, instead of enjoying a warm, gooey cinnamon roll, you're facing a felony burglary charge.
Ooh.
The county jail might have food, but trust us, it's no Cinnabon.
Oh, dang it. Point well taken.
Hopefully. Yeah. This was in the Atlanta area. Someone broke in the middle of the night. So wasn't even Cinnabon like that were served by the staff. But yeah, they went and they stole some cinnamon rolls there from the kiosk. And police clowned him on social media afterwards.
So. Oh, man. So he did get the Cinnabon.
Well, he did. But he also got charged for with a felony burglary charge.
Just hope it was hashtag worth it.
Was it? What dessert or sweet treat would be worth jail?
Ooh, well, they're so readily available at like the store. I mean, you can't get Cinnabon at the store, but I could wait. I don't think there's any snack that I couldn't wait for.
Yeah, me too. Me too.
I mean, my brain would tell me jail is not as fun as waiting to enjoy the delicious Cinnabon whenever I could get it.
This is true. So that's why this is a Setting the Bar story. If you can manage to make it through the day without breaking into a mall for Cinnabon, then you're doing okay. Sabrina Carpenter there on 99.7 DJX performed during music's biggest night at the Grammy Awards.
I can't relate to desperation.
Little jazzy version of Espresso. And it was, if you didn't see it, it was kind of cute because she was having issues, like, quote, issues with the get up and all that stuff. And then she wound up changing and going into her normal version of Espresso, which, yeah, Sabrina performed there. She rolled away with some Grammy Awards.
Not Best New Artist. I was surprised at that, to be honest.
Yeah, so Best New Artist did go to Chapel Roan. And, she performed Pink Pony Club, a version of that, and with a huge, pink horse on stage. It was really pretty cool. But then when she gets up and accepts her award for Best New Artist, she kind of starts calling out the music industry.
I told myself if I ever won a Grammy and I got to stand up here in front of the most powerful people in music, I would demand that labels and the industry profiting millions of dollars off of artists would offer a livable wage and healthcare, especially to developing artists.
I mean, what a like a bold move that was.
Yeah, you're best new artist.
I know. What a bold move. But, you know, I mean, she's talking about how, hey, look, you know, the artists that we play, like the Sabrina Carpenters and the Taylor Swifts and the Beyoncés of the world, you know, I mean, they don't need to have like the, I guess, support of a label, but it's those struggling artists. And then she kind of goes on and says that, you know, when she got signed by a label when she was young and then dropped, that she didn't really have any sort of skills and she didn't have anything, you know, no way to really support herself while she was trying to chase her dream and all that stuff. So, yeah, I mean, she did get, like you said earlier, a standing ovation from the crowd. Can we talk about real quick Jaden Smith?
We probably should.
So Jaden is Will Smith's son. Will Smith was there to honor Quincy Jones in an in memoriam type of performance, which was really cool. We'll get to here in just a sec. But Jaden walks the red carpet wearing
a house,
a mansion on his head.
It looks like it's a black, I don't know if it's a haunted mansion, big house, but it's like a helmet. His face, yeah. Like it's fully around his head. His face is looking out what would be the front door, I guess.
Look,
I would love to have seen Will Smith's reaction when he first saw that.
I'm telling you, it worked because no one would have said one word about Jaden Smith.
You're right.
Had he not done that, and look at us. We
look
fell
at us
hook, line, and sinker.
Jaden Smith on the house and
into his trap.
Okay. All right.
Oh, shoot. Yeah. Big winners last night. Kendrick Lamar, he won the big ones. The record of the year, song of the year, best rap song, best rap performance. Beyonce made Grammy history, finally winning her long-denied Album of the Year award as Cowboy Carter won Album of the Year and Best Country Album there at the Grammys.
Is country radio playing it?
Not anymore. Okay.
All right. All right. I was just asking.
All right.
All right.
So Grammy Awards there last night.
Was Post Malone nominated?
Post Malone was nominated, yep, for F1 Trillion. And I want to say there were several others that were. Oh, are you talking for a country album or
yes.
Best country album?
Like
yeah.
Jelly Roll, was he in there?
Well, Lainey Wilson, I want to say it was Post Malone was in there, Beyonce was in there. Honestly, I thought it was going to kind of go to Post Malone over Beyonce, but
yes, because he's had a million hits off that thing and mm-hmm. a million country artists collaborate. It's a great album.
Yeah, but yeah, Beyonce
and it's played a lot.
Beyonce got her her Album of the Year, so there you go.
That is interesting. It's interesting to me, isn't it?
It is what it is. Okay. But I will say the, like I said earlier, there was a pretty cool tribute to Quincy Jones. And you know, Quincy Jones, you maybe don't know him by name, or maybe you've heard his name before, but you don't really know like what he did. He basically produced Michael Jackson's like first two albums, Thriller. Like if you've ever heard Thriller, that was Quincy Jones. And Janelle Monáe did a cool version of Michael Jackson's Don't Stop Till You Get Enough. I mean, Cynthia Erivo, she was a part of the tribute. Like I said, Will Smith was a part of the tribute. Lady Gaga and Bruno Mars got up and performed not their song, which ended up winning a Grammy, Die With a Smile, but they performed California Dreamin' because they were doing the Grammys and they were also raising money for the relief efforts for the California fires. I mean, they sounded great. I'm always interested to see how they perform live in front of like their peers, as opposed to how they sound on the studio recording. So I was pleasantly surprised by the Beyonce or by the Bruno Mars and Lady Gaga performance. I thought that was pretty good.
Well, yeah, you know they're legit.
Yeah, for sure. So there you go. We got plenty more of that, but yeah, that's the big highlights from yesterday's Grammy Awards.
Interesting.
The mansion worn by Jaden Smith.
The house on the head.
On the head.
He literally wore a house on his head.
Yep. Kendrick Lamar being the big winner, taking home all sorts of Grammys, which kind of makes Drake the big loser of the night. So there you go.
It's, bless his heart.
Bless his heart. It's 99.7 DJX. Time to get to a feel good story. Kelly Kay.
So this is kind of interesting. A professional jump roper named David Fisher used his double Dutch ropes to save a teenager who fell through an icy pond in December.
Wow.
So this all unfolded when a neighbor's dog ran out onto the pond chasing geese, fell through. Mm. So this 18-year-old went out after him and fell through too. The city of Westfield, Indiana, in central Indiana, mm-hmm. honored David with their life-saving award at a ceremony. Here's David talking about the rescue.
I am a professional rope jumper. The dog went onto the ice pond to chase the geese, and the dog is in the water. The boy went in to try and save his dog, and he's treading water in the middle of the ice pond, screaming. I just instinctively went right for my bag of jump ropes and pulled out the double Dutch ropes. I headed out on the ice pond, and as I start to go out there, I can hear the ice cracking underneath my feet. I sling the rope to him, and he grabs one handle, and bit by bit, we pulled him out of the ice pond.
Wow.
Yeah, kind of amazing. And he's traveled the world as a professional jump roper, has 3 world records for jumping while seated on the ground.
Okay, all right.
And he writes children books about a jump roping hero, and now he is one.
I was going to say, now it's
life
art imitating
art. Yeah.
Yeah, sure.
So you can see the full story at WDJX.com.
When you need advice, come to Ben and Kelly. It's group therapy on 99.7 DJX.
Hey, Ben and Kelly. First off, I love your show. I always try and catch it every morning during my long commute.
Thank you.
Anyway, I'm curious how you would handle this situation I'm in. In the 8 months I've been together with my boyfriend, I've always wondered what's up with his cell service. Mm. I have never talked to anyone who has more phone issues than him. His calls are always dropping. He always told me how bad cell service was at his apartment. And then I start noticing he had calls dropping when he was at other locations, like when he was out with his friends and he blamed his cell service. Then on Friday, it all became clear to me. My boyfriend skipped out of work early to join me for happy hour. He got a call from his boss. His boss was grilling him on a project he didn't finish. As my boyfriend was talking mid-sentence, he just hung up on his boss and then put his phone on airplane mode.
Ooh.
Later, he sent his boss a text saying he was getting terrible cell service and that he would call him later.
Hmm.
In that moment, it became clear to me that this is what my boyfriend has been doing with me. Then, as I thought about the times when our calls would drop, and it was usually while I was pressuring him on something.
Hmm.
I then confronted him about it, but he denied it. I know I'm right. Wouldn't this upset you? I know. I will never trust one of his dropped call excuses again, but how would you tell him to grow up without freaking him out? Thank you, Mandy. Oh.
Wow.
Yeah.
He
like
legit.
She witnessed him
she
doing
witnessed
it to his
it.
Boss. Wow.
Like he forgot who he was with and was just like,
we're going through a tunnel. Going through a tunnel.
Yeah, we use that going through a tunnel excuse so much. You're like, hey, you know, your cell phone would break up as you're like going through literally a tunnel.
Uh-huh.
Because the cell service doesn't get there. And then.
Yeah. I mean, this is literally, I think she hit the nail on the head when she said, how would I tell him to grow up? Because that's really immature if he does that as much as he does.
Yeah, yeah. And it's like, hey, why can't you talk to me like an adult?
Right.
And you got to and blame it on your cell coverage.
I mean, if you're with your friends, just say, hey, I'm hanging out with the boys. I'll call you later, babe.
Listen.
Instead of saying, I got bad stuff. Sorry, babe.
No, that would be funny if he even made those noises with his mouth.
Right.
But now listen, I'll give him.
What are we giving him?
I'm going to try to give him the benefit of the doubt.
We can't give him the benefit of the doubt on any of it.
Listen, and give him the benefit of the doubt a little bit. Mm-hmm. And this is probably why he does what he does, because he realizes that when put on the spot, he is not able to make a good argument for anything. Even if he is in the right, he still does. Maybe Mandy is so good at debating and selling a point that he feels overwhelmed.
That's
and
what
so,
we're doing.
Listen, give me a second. Mm-hmm. And so he almost says, instead of saying, hey, can I call you back when I get my facts straight and when I get my argument together? He uses the going through a tunnel excuse, drops the call, puts his phone on airplane mode, and then he's like, okay, brain. Think of how I'm going to respond to this.
Really? This is what because you're coming up with as an excuse for why he does this incessantly.
Isn't it always one of those things where you think about, oh, I should have said this after the moment passes? So maybe he's just trying not to let the moment pass.
Or maybe he's just blowing her off because he wants to hang with his buddies. Or he doesn't want to like answer whatever she's... Yeah. Wanting an answer on.
Sure.
But he's doing it to his boss. That's going to get him fired.
Well,
like, this is a problem.
Well, all right. How would you address this?
Jen says I was a total man defense, Ben.
Listen, I've been there.
You've been there?
I'm telling you, my wife is very convincing.
Right. And then you say, hang on, I need to go collect my thoughts.
Like, I almost need to say, wait, time out, time out.
Uh-huh.
My brain processes things slower. Uh-huh. Her brain is firing on all cylinders all the time. Uh-huh. And my brain is a little bit slower.
Sure. Then that's what you say. You don't fake bad cell coverage.
But see, this is the maturity of the years playing in my favor, Kelly.
Oh, maybe so you would have pulled this trick? Okay.
I don't know if I would have pulled this trick or not. I'm just saying, I'm saying that's probably, without knowing anything about this guy, he could
don't know his age.
He could be a dirtbag. He could be doing whatever, up to no good. But I'm thinking maybe this is just what he needs.
I don't trust him as far as I can throw him.
Okay. Let's get to more of your comments and stories, maybe, of how you dealt with something similar on 99.70 JX group therapy. So we got an interesting group therapy from Mandy, whose boyfriend has cell phone issues, but he doesn't really. He just pretends he does, hangs up on her, and then puts the phone in airplane mode. She witnessed this when he did it to his boss.
Yeah, that's how she knows about it. And yeah. So now she's like, all right, what do I do here? Because it's clear that's what he's been doing to me.
Yeah, and so she's like, would this upset you?
Yes. And Kate says, I'd approach it with some compassion and empathy on text. Tell him what you witnessed. Explain that you know he does it because he doesn't do well under pressure, but explain that it also made you lose some trust in him and ask him if he wants to role play and practice how to deal with an uncomfortable situation.
Oh, wow. That's a very mature way of handling it.
It is.
That's better than just saying grow up.
Well, yes, but also I think she needs to point out, like, hey, you can't keep doing that with people like your boss. Like, that kind of thing will get you fired if they figure out that's what if you do it a lot.
Yeah, I mean, I was saying, look, I realize because I don't think as quick on my feet as my wife does, and I'm thinking, okay, man, if I could just have, like, an extra minute to just process what happened before I respond.
Then that's what you say. But you don't sit there and go, I'm going through a tunnel right in front of her.
I'm going through a tunnel. No, you're not. You're standing right in front of me. Yes, I am. I'm not. I'm an illusion. I'm not. Error.
Lisa says, for those of us who despise talking on the phone, this guy's a genius. Honestly. I do see why she's upset. But I think she also needs to think about why she feels a need to call him so much. Well, Lisa, I think we're making assumptions. I don't know. We don't know how often she's calling. If he's with the guys, let him be. Maybe he's dealing with some stress, needs a break. No one is at your constant beck and call. Your codependence is probably too much. Just from the story, I'm having a hard time breathing.
Listen, there are a lot of people that are like, this is a lot of red flags. And
on whose part? And you're they toss them at her or him?
Him, I think.
Okay.
Right. Yeah. Maisie's like,
toss them a little at her.
Maisie's like, I think I'd be leaving and moving forward with my life. Maybe drop some constructive criticism on my way out. LOL. Mary's like, he's not going to change. He is who he is. He's not your person. John's like, I'd put him on airplane mode.
Right. That's what he did to his boss.
Yeah, exactly. So,
and yet the fact that you've been dating him for 8 months. And then, Brittany says the bar is in the basement. Dump him. Raise your bar.
Yeah, a lot of people are just like, man, this is not something that is good. Someone who wants to remain anonymous says, look, it sounds like something my husband actually might do. Any other signs of ADHD or autism? That's a good point. You know, that might be an overwhelming or overstimulated panic response that he has, where it's like, and then he freezes up and hangs up on him.
I do like Kate's approach. Like, we need to at least call him out on what she witnessed.
Yeah.
Like, you know, she needs to be honest, say, I saw what you did with your boss. Like, you intentionally lied about cell coverage, put him on airplane mode because you didn't want to confront what was happening.
Yeah.
That's not healthy, and I feel like you do that a lot.
Yeah.
And you probably shouldn't.
Yeah. That kind of goes back to, hey, maturity, and maybe we check and make sure that there's not some other larger issue at play, like ADHD or undiagnosed ADHD or autism or something like that.
Well, and maybe that gives him the opportunity to mention that to
have a conversation.
If she starts the conversation about that. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Because it may be a thing where he learns it the hard way. Either he like loses her as a girlfriend, maybe he loses a job over it if the boss figures out that's what he does. This could be a situation where he has to learn some life lessons the hard way.
Yeah. Wow. Well, I don't envy you. It's not an easy situation to be in. And
start the conversation with what you witnessed with the boss conversation.
All right. That sounds good. All right, guys. Thank you. That is group therapy. So last week we had a group therapy from Andy, who had been dating his girlfriend for a couple years, actually proposed to her, except he didn't get the answer that he was wanting, which obviously is a yes or I do or all that or whatever. He got a no, you're not the one right now.
So he was wondering, okay, so do I stick around? How long? Is that like a no? What do I do?
Yeah, what did we land on? I mean, we landed on, hey, you gotta follow up with her and
ask her to explain what does that mean?
Yeah, what does that mean? What is,
because she said I still love you.
Not the one right now. So anyways, we got an update.
Yeah, say Ben and Kelly wanted to follow up with you with good news.
Good news, all right.
After you talked about my segment, I did what you suggested. I talked to my girlfriend.
Mm-hmm.
So first, to answer some questions, we're both in our mid-20s.
Okay.
That was a question. Yes, marriage has come up as we had talked about marriage and how that's what we both wanted eventually for our future.
Okay.
Okay, so I asked her to explain what she meant when she said I was not the one right now.
Uh-huh.
So I told her I wanted to still be with her and would wait however long it would take. And she told me that she still loves me, just needed some time to process everything. I told her that I would rather know now if she needed a break than to wait around for nothing.
Sure.
She asked me to give her another year or two and felt like she would be ready then.
Okay.
I asked her what she still needed to accomplish or needed to do that would take that long before we got engaged. And she told me she takes marriage seriously and wants to make sure I'm the one before making that kind of commitment.
Okay.
So that's where we are.
That's good news.
We're going to keep seeing each other and see where things go. This is good news because I was worried that she was just going to break up with me, even though I wish she would have just told me she changed her mind. I can wait for her. Oh. Thanks for everything, guys.
Wow. Okay. So she didn't really actually even answer his question, did she?
No, because she's still saying, I don't know if you're the one.
Yeah, I guess she answered it without answering it.
They've been together for 2 years.
2 years.
And that's what I'm hanging on. Like, I feel like you should know if you can see your future with him? Or, you know, put yourself through the other scenario. What if you don't have him? Can you see yourself
without him
being okay?
Well, I mean, she's like, hey, you know what? Just give me a couple more years and I think we'll be good.
And then I feel bad because I feel like we're going to be a couple years down the road and we're going to be in the same situation. And then he's going to be like, I wasted 4 years.
Yeah. I mean, he feels good about it. So obviously.
He does.
Obviously,
not trying to poo-poo that.
I was going to say, obviously there was something that happened in the moment that gave him hope, that made him believe her. And, you know, hey, look, I get it. You're already 2 years into the relationship. You want to be committed. And so I can understand why he's grasping at anything to stay together. But
if I were him, I would ask him, what else do you need to know or see or experience
before
you're sure about me?
And she said, I take marriage seriously. That was her
answer. But then she says, I need to wait a little longer to see if you're the right one to make that commitment. I would ask, what else do you need to see about me that's going to assure you of that or not? Like, what is more time? Because we've already had 2 years going to show you.
Yeah,
that
we
you don't already know.
Got some text messages from a listener who says he just needs to move on. She's obviously trying to date other people, but what else does she need to find out? He isn't happy about it. He just doesn't want to be single and have to start over.
Mm. Well, Heather is asking, do they live together?
Yeah, I don't know.
We didn't ask that. Don't know.
I got another text from a listener. It sounds like she just still wants to date other guys. Bro needs to move on.
Yeah, I feel like she needs it. Maybe it takes losing him for her to figure that out.
Maybe.
I mean, maybe that's what it's going to take. Because I don't think hanging out with him another 2 years is going to make any things more clear.
Yeah.
She's not clear on it right now, she needs to take some time to figure it out. That's my thought. I'm glad that he's happy and
yes.
that he's like, well, we didn't break up and yay.
Yeah. That was the good news for Andy is that, hey, I was going into this thinking that we were just going to break up and we didn't. So,
but my spidey senses are tingling.
Yeah,
my spidey senses are tingling, and I don't want him to waste any more time. If I feel like we're going to be down the road a couple more years, and we're going to be right back in this place, just like I don't know. And
Kelly, don't are your spidey him. Senses in the same spot mine are?
Probably not.
Where are yours? You tell me first.
I said spidey senses back here.
Oh, my.
Back
spidey.
My neck. No, stop! My spidey senses are tingling.
My spidey senses are tingling in a different spot. All right.
Okay.
All right. Maybe it's just guys and girls. I don't know.
All right. Thank you, Andy. I'm so glad that you're happy. However, I'm
just use caution.
Heart.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. yeah. Because, yeah. again, it's if it was just marriage as an institution in general, but she kind of came back to, I don't know if you're the one to make that commitment.
Yeah,
yet.
Right.
And that's what I'm a little nervous about.
All right, Andy. Hey, thank you so much for the update. Keep us posted on that group therapy on 99.7 DJX. Everybody at bar, 99.7 DJX, Ben and Kelly. I don't really want to get too far into the, hey, both the cards and cats lost narrative this past weekend.
Let's not dwell on it.
Listen, the Cards were on a 10-game winning streak, undefeated in the month of January, and this was probably the first time I legitimately cared in a while whether the Cards won or lost. And it stung a little to see Georgia Tech come back from 11 or 17 down at one point.
Wow.
And end up beating the Louisville Cardinals with a second half that was second to none. I mean, they pulled out all the stops and Louisville just kind of forgot how to basketball there for a minute, but still feeling good about the Pat Kelsey era. However, I wanted to do a wellness check on the Cat fans because the old Coach C back in the building.
You don't have to say it. You don't have to say it.
And, quote, upset the Cats in their own building.
Now, listen, I will say this. I think that he handled it with class. You can see in, like, post-game interviews that, you know, he's like, hey, listen, He's like, that place is special. I feel fortunate that I got to be there as long as I did 15 years. He's like, tonight we were the better team, but it's one game. If anybody looks at it as anything other than that, they're crazy.
Okay.
Like, so he still gave kudos to the well-coached Cats.
It's easy for him to say when he's coming from a position of victory.
Of course, but then he also gave an interview beforehand and just like, what are your feelings coming back in this place? Are you, you know, nervous that you're going to get booed? He's like, he was just like, it's fine either way. If they boo, then they boo. And, you know, but, you know, I'm coming from a place of gratitude, which I thought was classy.
Sure.
Still hurt. Still stung.
Yes, of course. Of course it still stings.
Yeah.
So, anyways, there you go. Not the best sports weekend for the local teams.
Nope, not the outcome we wanted.
The Cards are going to be taking on Boston College on Wednesday, and hopefully they can shore up a victory there. But yeah, we'll move on.
Okay,
we'll
then
move on.
I was just going to just let it skate by without even saying anything. Couldn't you do that?
We have to. It's our job.
It's our job.
Hey, coming up next, you know, I feel crazy like thinking that people get so bold with how flagrant they cheat. Like they don't respect their partner enough to try to hide it a little bit more. But I missed this story a few weeks ago. And
they don't respect their partner enough to just not cheat.
Well, yeah. No, you should be happy. I respected you enough to hide it from you.
Because I was really good at hiding it.
Yeah. But wait till you hear this story. It was, a couple, they go to a football game there and in Buffalo. And then everything just kind of unraveled. And we'll fill you in on the details because you'll want to hear those coming up on 99.70JX. So what's the craziest way you heard of someone getting busted cheating? So maybe it's a personal story. Maybe it's like a cousin's friend who it's now urban legend, but it goes down in the books as one of those wild ways that people got busted. And, you know, sometimes people get a little bold with how flagrant they are when it comes to cheating.
That just tells me they want to be caught.
So
when they're that bold with it.
Yeah. I missed this story a few weeks ago. So maybe you heard it, but it's new to me. Two married couples, right? They go to a Buffalo Bills football game and they're sitting together. The couples knew each other on a different level, maybe unbeknownst to their partner. So listen, this was all found out because of a security guard. So one of the guy and the girl go and use the restroom.
Okay, so wait, what, one husband goes with the other wife?
Yeah, and they go to the restroom. Maybe at the same time, maybe they stagger their trips a little bit. But anyways, they rendezvous in the men's restroom. And the security guard's daughter tells the story of how her dad caught them.
This guy is like, I have to kick you out, obviously. And they're like, hold on, wait. All of our stuff is back at our seat. Can we just go and get it and then we'll leave? And he's like, I can't let you go back there, but I can go and retrieve it for you. And they're like really pressing him, like, no, let us go get it. And he's like, no, I'm not letting you back in the stadium.
Yeah. And he's like, no, I'm kicking you out.
Right. The things we've left are different spouses.
I will go get your stuff. So he goes to get their stuff and he arrives there and the two people that are sitting there who they were with are like, where are our so-and-so. And he's like, oh, they've been ejected from the game. Like, are they friends of yours? And these two people, it was another man and a woman. It was their husband and their wife. So these two couples go to this game together, and two of them who are not married sneak off to go cheat mid-game. And I think before the security guard pieced it together, he told them why they got ejected.
No!
And I don't know all the details specifically, but from the sounds of it, it didn't seem like the other two knew what was going on between them.
Yeah. So apparently her dad works in security there, and it was another guy that busted them in the security. But yes!
Like he thought it was just a randy couple. Nope. They were sneaking off because their spouses were sitting at the game.
Oh my gosh. In front of them.
That's crazy.
In front of them.
That is absolute bonkers.
The two couples went to the game together. The man and the woman who were caught in the men's restroom were not married to one another.
Oh, wow. Oh, wow. Oh, wow.
I told you it's juicy. Like that is an absolute unhinged, wild, bold. Like, you're going to go at the game?
I bet they're not double dating anymore.
No, probably not.
That probably shut that down.
Probably not. So, would love to hear some of the crazier ways you've heard about someone getting busted cheating.
That's a pretty big one.
Yeah, that is. 502-795-1997. We'll take some of your stories.
Oh my gosh, Heather's. Oh.
Okay, we'll take some of your stories, including Heather's, coming up here in just a few on 99.7 DJX. So this couple got busted for cheating when they went to the men's restroom at a Buffalo Bills football game, got kicked out. The usher goes back to their seats and tells the other couple that's at the seats why they got kicked out. Turns out they were the other's spouses.
That is how they found out their spouses were cheating.
Yeah, crazy ways you've heard of someone getting busted.
Heather, back in the 90s, my mom's friend found out her husband was cheating after buying a holiday brochure and finding a photo of her husband smiling with another woman in the hot tub in one of the resort photos. Turns out his, quote, business trips were just lies. What?
Oh.
It okay, was on so a brochure.
I guess it couldn't have been explained away like, hey, that's just some rando I don't know.
I'm in the hot tub with, yeah, like, cheersing with wine glasses.
So it was more of a candid rather than a staged photo, I'm assuming?
Maybe.
Man,
you would think, though, that they would have had to sign a photo in promotional material.
Or the husband's just so daft in thinking there's no way she's going to see this photo brochure.
Like, they're flattered. Oh, they want to use this as little models in their advertising brochures? Okay.
Right. Wow.
And then they didn't think about the fact that your wife would see it.
You're going to pay me $100? That's great.
Okay, great.
Wow. I got a message from a listener. My husband at the time told me he didn't cheat, but had a naked woman in the car.
Wow.
What's she doing there?
Who's this? You want to introduce me to your friend?
And why does she not have clothes on? Is she so poor and cold that...
Did you see her on the side of the road after her clothes blew off by the wind?
I know.
And you're rescuing her?
You know what?
What a nice guy.
Gentleman. A gentleman right there.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah. Okay, here's another one, Aaron. The incredibly awkward moment when my friend and I borrowed her boyfriend's car in the wintertime to run and pick up food, started warming up the car and the windows fogged up, showing the handwriting and name of another girl written in condensation on the inside of the window.
Shut up! Shut up!
Who does that?
Well,
who does that?
Man, that other girl wanted him to get caught.
A thousand percent.
Because, you know, if you don't like actually clean that off, those things will hang for a while.
Ashley was here.
I know, right?
I want to know what was written. That's what I'm guessing.
Wow. Oh, we got another message from a listener. Got a letter saying I'd been fined $100 for driving down a bus lane, along with a photo of my car committing said offense. I put two and two together, and when I confronted my girlfriend with it, she just came straight out and admitted she'd been seeing a guy from work, and they'd gone on this little trip together. Oh, wow. It didn't explain, but I would imagine it's probably in a different city or something like that.
Oh, wow.
A bus lane in a different city. That's that. Jeez, when it's your car. That is bold, too.
That is bold.
Holy
move.
Cow.
That is bold move. Michelle says, a girl I know found a name written like your listeners in her boyfriend's shower.
Oh.
And he managed to convince her it's over 3 months old from before they were official.
Why is this name showing up in your shower?
Oh, that's old. Yeah, no, that's before us, babe. It's fine. It's all fine. Okay. Sounds like she bought it.
Got another message from a listener. My former boss and friend said I had full access to anything in the office. Laying on his desk, wide open with several invoices, he was renting a house for a mistress and furnished it. And all the receipts and addresses were just lying right there.
Oh, well.
These are the bold ways that you heard someone getting busted cheating.
Another text, I used to do home visits for work, got to one, and there were two clients there who were not each other's spouses.
Whoop.
The man in the situation did not have a car and had to call his wife to come him. And I had to call the police.
Oh, no.
Apparently that didn't go over well.
All right, we'll get to one more. Wants to remain anonymous. My first day at a new job, my manager was training me on the register. Customer comes up to pay. I knew him, and he proceeded to ask how I was. I said, good. He said, I'm glad you're doing okay after everything. I said, everything? He goes, well, after the breakup. I was shocked, but I guess everything happens for a reason, he said. I told him, well, you're mistaken. We're still very much together. I was confused, and he asked if we had taken a break or something.
Oh my gosh.
When I found out on my first day at my new job in front of my new manager that my boyfriend of 5 years was cheating on me.
Oh.
My manager quickly said, would you like to take a short break? Wow.
Oh my gosh. Oh my gosh.
Wow.
Oh my gosh.
That man. How are you doing? You doing okay after the breakup and everything? We're not broken up.
I'm sorry, I mean, what breakup?
Wait, what?
Was I a part of this breakup?
Wait, what?
Sounds like she was not.
No. All right, those are good stories on 99.7 TJX. All right, what is the most expensive ticket you've ever received? My mom texted me and she said $350 for going 91 and a 75 in Georgia.
Ooh.
So there's that.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
$350 is quite expensive. I mean, I don't think any ticket that I've received, and I've received several, I don't think any of them have gotten over $200. So, I mean, I don't really have a whole lot to contribute to this segment. But thankfully, this is setting the bar story, which is what?
That's an example of what not to do, or a situation we hope you don't find yourself in.
So if you can manage to make it through the day without racking up over $200,000 in parking fines, you're doing okay.
$200,000? How did we do that?
Yeah, so this Volkswagen, I guess, was abandoned at an airport in Berlin.
Okay, so that's how.
Got $209,124 worth of parking fees over the past year.
It must have been there, yeah, for a long time. A year, that's how much it's going to rack up. Dang, did they ever track down who it belonged to?
So what they're thinking is maybe they have yet to identify who the owner is, because they're thinking that maybe this Volkswagen was stolen and then dumped at the airport. But listen, do not leave your car at a Berlin airport, because it's going to cost about $500 a day. $552 a day.
Okay, so that's how that escalates quickly.
If they do find the owner, then they'll be able to charge that person $210,000. If they don't, then they're just, I guess, going to have to, you know, not get that fine revenue or whatever.
Do you know what I'm thinking?
What?
My first thought is, what if the owner isn't alive anymore?
Well, that could be the case too.
I mean, that was my first thought. You don't, it's been a year. You're telling me even if it broke down,
yep,
you couldn't get that handled within like a week?
Well, especially,
go get it towed somewhere.
Especially if you knew that it was going to be costing you $552 a day.
Yes.
I
think everybody that parks in the extended parking lot at the airport knows that's costly. Like, you're going to rack up a little bit of a bill. If you leave it there for like a week, it's going to cost a lot, right?
Thankfully, it's not the case at the Louisville Muhammad Ali Airport. It's about what, like 20?
Well, not $500 a day.
No, it's like 20 bucks a day or something like that.
Right. But still, if you leave it there for a week or two, that's gonna cost a pretty penny.
Not $209,000.
No, it is not.
Yeah, so maybe that makes your $350 speeding ticket seem not as much. But yeah, if you can manage to make it through the day without racking up over 200 grand in parking fines, then you're doing okay.
Well, hopefully we find out who it belongs to. Like, they still don't know, so we're going to need an update, right?
Yeah.
How much longer is it going to stay there?
Yeah,
how much more money?
Hopefully they've towed it by now.
Like, I feel like now the person that is eventually going to fess up, oh, that's mine. Sorry, I forgot.
Yeah, my bad. I fell asleep.
We're going to see a GoFundMe pretty soon for the VW Golf at the Berlin Airport GoFundMe.
Yeah.
Help me pay my parking ticket.
All right. Well, there you go. That's your Setting the Bar story on 99.7 DJX. Grammy winners here. Lady Gaga, Bruno Mars, Die With a Smile. Even though she hasn't released music in a hot minute, she's kind of keeping her name out there with a couple different ways. One of them, you're going to see her in a Taco Bell Super Bowl ad. Where she's just lurking in the background, like photobombing this Taco Bell commercial.
This year, Taco Bell is making fans the stars of their big game ad, not celebrities.
Did someone photobomb us? Is that Doja Cat?
Yeah. So the whole commercial is her like just popping up in the background and like photobombing. But then she was on the Grammys last night, not presenting or anything like that. She was in an ad for a local LA business, like a florist who lost everything in the fires, and she appeared in the ad, and that was part of like their commitment to trying to like shine the light and help support some of those businesses, those small businesses who lost everything in the fires. So she popped up in this florist's little commercial there, and she was like, oh, you know, does this look good? And the florist was like, yeah, that looks good. And she was like, all right, I'll put it in. And then she adds it to like a bouquet. But yeah, Doja Cat there. I hear that maybe her drought of music, new music, will be over soon. So
didn't she say she was quitting? I feel like she was one of them that said she was quitting music.
I don't remember. I don't remember. I feel
like she said that.
I do know that The Weeknd said that he was not going to do anything Grammy related ever. He put a ban on it, and then he performed last night. So maybe that's over for him.
Evidently it is if he showed up and performed.
Yeah, exactly.
Somebody like apologized or something, and then he's like, "All right, fine.
All right, fine. I guess I'll perform. All right then." All that Grammy stuff you can see WDJX.com. I'm kind of at the point in the year where I feel a little sad, a little blue, because knowing that football season is coming to an end here this Sunday is a thing for me, and knowing that college football is long gone, and it's going to be 6-7 months until that all happens again.
You don't have a purpose in life.
Makes me
anymore,
feel
right?
Some sort of way. Now, listen, yeah. I am feeling a little bit better with basketball season, not necessarily for NBA. Don't really care too much about NBA. I do know that Luka got traded from the Dallas Mavs to the
my
LA
son
Lakers.
Was all about that. Oh, he's yeah, like, that what was, in the world? Why?
That, I know.
Why?
That rocked the basketball world over the weekend.
That rocked Dude Perfect. Because they had like a whole episode when Luka was on. They're just like, you know, had all these Texas things and now they put out a little video like this is not right.
Yeah.
This doesn't feel right at all.
Well, you know, it's business, right? So there's that. But like what I was going to say is I feel a little bit better, even though the Cards and the Cats both lost this past weekend.
It wasn't a great weekend.
It wasn't a great weekend for either teams, but I feel better going into and seeing like the second half of the season, knowing that Louisville has already eclipsed their win totals from the past 2 years. And
you can hang your hat on that. I can at least
like look at that and go, okay, all right, we're moving in the right direction. You know, the Pope Kelsey era, eras of these teams are certainly
still going strong.
Yep. Still going
strong.
Little
bump in the road. Yeah. It's all good.
Yeah. I think we're good. All right. So if you missed anything from the show, you can always catch up on the podcast. We did get an update from the, what was his name? Andy, who we spoke with last week, who proposed to his girlfriend, and she said, nah, bro, not now.
Nah, bro. And then he's happy with his update.
We still don't know if he's happy or if he should be happy with his update.
My spidey senses were tingling. Like, I feel like, I think the only way she's going to figure it out is to lose him, because she's just like, I just need more time to figure out if you're the one I want to make the commitment to. Like, she didn't say, oh, there's these things I want to do first, or just marriage scares me, or it's not you, it's me, whatever. Like, she's just still saying, yeah, not sure about you.
She just said, give me a couple more years.
After 2 years, yeah, she's saying, I'm not sure about you.
Right. Give me a couple more years to figure it out, and we should be good.
I feel like she'll figure it out if she loses it. Yeah, like, that's either going to make her think, okay, I'm fine, he wasn't the one, or I can't live my life without him, he's the one.
Yep, there you go. So you can hear that entire update on the podcast, and the wild ways that you have learned about or caught someone cheating. Like,
bold.
Wait till you hear some of these stories. It's
the resort brochure kills me.
It's insane. Insane. Yes. So, all right. Kelly, what else?
There is something you need to see on the website at WDJX.com. So, Justin, listen, it's the Justin Blake thing.
Oh, my gosh.
Justin, I'm all up in it.
You're so in on this.
I cannot look away. So, okay. Justin Baldoni's lawyer has been saying from, like, the get-go, since the first complaint was filed, he's like,
Justin Baldoni is the Blake Lively, Ryan Reynolds. It's that triangle that we're talking about.
It ends with us. Yeah, was their movie. Yeah. Justin was the director and star. Blake's accusing him of sexual harassment. Did this put out this article in the New York Times? And so Baldoni fired back with a lawsuit for defamation and extortion. And so from the very beginning, his lawyer, Brian Friedman, says, we're going to put out a website with all the things. We're going to release all the messages, all the emails, the entire timeline. We're going to show you everything so you can be the judge. And he did.
Okay.
This weekend, it went up. And you can read the complaints. You can read the formal complaints. And then you can read the timeline the text messages, including texts from Ryan Reynolds to Justin Baldoni. Like, it's all out there.
All right. It's all going to crumble down on your former boyfriend.
Well, and Blake and Ryan were trying to issue a gag order to get it, you know, not allow them to do this. But don't forget, she's the one that sent the complaint to the New York Times, who wrote this slanted article that was all kind of one-sided. And so she puts it out there in the public to begin with. He's got a right to do the same thing.
All right. So you can read up on that if that's your thing.
Grab snacks. It's good reading.
All right. WDJX.com. Guys, have a good one. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
Okay, bye.